I'm in love. Yeah, man. Friday, all right. Friday, day 18 of the economic, the American shutdown. But it is Friday, and for some reason it does lift your spirits somewhat, no matter. I remember when I was unemployed. I swear to God, when I was unemployed for about 8 months back in 2007, even when it was when Friday came, I still felt like it was a festive sort of day.
Yeah, because you can go out to the bars on Friday night or the restaurants, and it was crowded, and people were still enjoying their weekends.
Even if I was staying home, I just felt like Friday. I don't know what it is. It's just like
you're still working.
It's like
that's
the start of summer. Even though I have to work all summer, I still feel like it, as a kid does. Hey, it's summertime, man. It's going to be great.
I can tell you that people that are home don't feel that way. My wife, for example, I said, hey, tomorrow's Friday. And she got laid off this week, my wife, which is ridiculous. But she's like, so what? Every day's the same day. Doesn't matter. It's not like Friday night. Hey, we just worked a complete work week. Now we're going out and having a good time. They're home every single day doing the same thing.
Every day is the same day.
There's no Friday for these people. 10 million people with jobless filings.
Maybe,
there's no Friday.
Maybe there's one person out there
is
with me on this. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying. I really am. It sucks. I can't stand it. I really do.
It's worse than sucks. It's becoming, and we've used this word time and time again, and I keep getting crushed on Twitter every day for talking about this, but it's becoming unsustainable. It's worse than sucks.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because I was going to say that. This is a shutdown, the fallout yesterday. 6.6 million people applied for unemployment last week, taking the figure to 10 million. 10 million people have lost jobs, and those are the people that are able to get through to the unemployment office. I mean, a lot of people cannot get through. Millions more, of course, cooped up at home, stressed out, as you say, Sid. And so,
millions
more
will also lose their jobs. Last week was doubly bad as the week before.
Sure,
this
sure.
week's going to be brutal.
Well, on the bright side, that $350 billion small business loan program goes into effect today, folks. Today, if you're a small business owner, go to SBA.com. Today's the day. They'll pay you and they'll pay your employees for 3 months.
Yeah, here's one more bad news. That's true, but some of you folks may have to wait up to 20 weeks to see your first check.
Well, either way, I mean, look.
Either way, they can't afford to go 20 weeks. They can't afford it.
Well, look, it's an assist. It's a help. It's something. If there was nothing, then you could despair.
20 weeks may be as good as nothing. These people will be dead by then. It's kind of like, hey, 20 weeks now, we'll give you hydroxychloroquine.
Not everybody's going to survive. That's true. But it's going to help a lot of people. And today's the day. Get right on it. SBA.com. If you pay your employees, that loan turns into a grant if you don't fire anybody.
Right.
But it is, again, this the long-term damage. I mean, it's back to the question. Every time you have these huge days with the numbers, speaking of which, the unemployment figure for March will come out this morning at 8:30. We're going to be watching that to see how high the unemployment number will rise. I don't know, 6%, 7%, 8%, I don't know.
It may be as high as 8, 9. I don't think it'll get to 10%, but it's going to be awful.
So the question, I mean, back to the original question, can't we just quarantine and self-isolate the high-risk people, the elderly, the diabetics, the people with the heart and lung problems, let everybody else go back to work?
I said that on Twitter just yesterday. Let able-bodied Americans, young people with no medical issues go back to work. Let the kids go back to school. Let's get some type of normalcy back in this country. And I got to tell you, Bernie, I got savaged. What an insensitive prick. There are people dying every day.
Too bad.
There's over a million cases now in the country.
Then let me lay this out for those who are so sanctimonious and intolerant of just asking the damn question.
Of being rational?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to kill the patient, bro. You don't want to kill the patient, ladies and gentlemen, which is the country. Is the cure worse than the cost? We've asked it a million times. I mean, a severe recession, that leads to, or a depression, God forbid, and even just what we're having now, it leads to despair, despondency. It leads to suicides. It leads to, crime, alcoholism, domestic abuse, stuff like that.
Let me give you a scary number. The last 2 weeks, you talked about it. Now 10 million jobless filings, nearly 7 million in 1 week. That was the exact number of people who filed in 2 years between 2008 and 2009, when in fact that was labeled a recession. So think about this. In 2 weeks, we reached the number of the last recession, and that took 2 years. That's terrifying.
It is. It really is.
2 weeks to 2 years.
So I'm just asking. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't even know the answer. I'm just throwing. Public health officials, Sydney, they've been wrong before. I mean, we played tapes of some vaunted and respected health officials. They were dead wrong. They're dead wrong about the masks. Everything is turned around about the masks.
I wouldn't use dead wrong.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, is this the right thing? Because they did bungle it from the beginning with the testing and everything else, the CDC. We heard Dr. Fauci on Katz's roundtable on January 26th. Don't worry, this is no problem. And now, of course, he's worried. But all the models which President Trump based this economic shutdown on, that one in particular, it predicted apocalyptic death numbers here in the United States at the Imperial College model from the UK. And that's been drastically reduced, drastically. But the economic shutdown continues. And the latest... the latest model is the University of Washington. I mentioned that to you, I think it was yesterday or the day before. The University of Washington model, that also, they already had predicted that New York State, today we'd have well over 50,000 hospital beds filled with COVID-19 patients. And it turns out the number is more like 15,000 right now. So they way over projected that as well.
Yeah, but they're still going crazy here. I mean, they're about to use the Jacob Javits Center for those 3,000 beds. Andrew Cuomo saying last night, we're going to run out of ventilators despite our quote unquote stockpile in 6 days. So, yeah, these projections are not reaching those apocalyptic numbers that you're talking about. But every day, the mayor, the governor, even the president, they're freaking out.
But I'm just again asking the question. Do these massive shutdowns make sense?
The answer is yes, because I ask that question every day on social media, every day, Bernie, and I get a lot of responses. And the overwhelming majority say, hey, Sid, shut up. And by the way, a few guys out there that tell me I'm still working, which I am, I've been affected by this in a big way. My wife got laid off. She makes a nice salary. She's a big-time attorney. And there's other things going on in my life. I just explained to Bernie, three different things happened to me this week that have really crushed me and put me in a very, very serious situation. So I'm not immune to this either, even though I'm still working. We've taken a beating in my household. Not as bad as some of you out there. I get it. You're about to lose everything. But it's touched me, too. And I don't want to hear that I can't have that opinion. My opinion is, yes, we have gone way overboard here, and we're destroying lives every day. And if 200,000 people die, it's not even worth it.
So when I said, do these massive lockdowns make sense, you said yes. You meant no.
No, I mean no, but I'm telling you that the response you're going to get out there from people is overwhelmingly yes. Don't be insensitive.
Listen, I didn't see your PPE on your mush this morning. I didn't see your bandana. I didn't see your I got my scarf right here.
I have a mask in my jacket pocket. When I take the train now and I go outside, I do listen to De Blasio. I do wear a mask, and I did throw out my latex gloves. Yeah, yeah. Danielle bought a whole bunch of masks. I wear a black mask. I got latex gloves. They're in my office. I threw it out.
But
here's what's stupid.
In the spirit of honesty, do you remember a couple of weeks ago you wanted to punch somebody in the face?
I still do. I wanted to bash my own face. I wanted to smash my own face. And I got to tell you something, how stupid this is. When I go to work in the morning, I wear a mask and gloves. Yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock on a pretty nice day, I ran 4 miles in Riverside Park without a mask and without gloves. So I'm being inconsistent and hypocritical because I don't know what to do from 1 second to the next. They're making me crazy.
Listen, they're making me crazy as well. Look, this could be a case of De Blasio looking to upstage Governor Cuomo after having been upstaged himself the day before when Cuomo closed all the parks after De Blasio just playgrounds after De Blasio just closed 10. It could be that or him trying to really overcompensate for bungling. Bungling everything. I mean, we pay so much in taxes in this state, and that after 9/11, this state wasn't prepared for a medical emergency is an absolute outrage. It's inexcusable. And of course, De Blasio was the last politician, and we've found examples of Cuomo, too, downplaying everything right up until March, downplaying the whole thing, and nobody was prepared for anything. So it could be that. Anyway, we're going to end up looking like, walking on the streets, we're going to look like a bunch of Antifa thugs.
Yeah, we are.
With bandanas. It's going to be the scariest thing on the streets. You're going to have the thugs with the bandanas, and we're all going to be wearing bandanas or scarves, hiding our faces. I don't know.
And then now June events have been canceled all over the world, and now July events, you know, the big summit for Donald Trump, he's moved possibly to a teleconference. The Democratic National Convention has been moved to late August now. Both conventions will be late August in Milwaukee and Charlotte. These types of things, Bernie, scare the hell out of me. You're telling me that you're starting to postpone events in July? In July? Really?
Well, the Democrats, if they could cancel the convention, they'd be glad. They'd love to cancel the convention. But one thing that will go on is the election, because that is you can't change that. That is a constitutional thing. You would need, two-thirds ratification of Congress, some enormous number that they'll never reach. I mean, they should, but if they postpone the Olympics to 2021. Postpone the election to 2021. And maybe, you know what, maybe the Democrats will go along because they'll be thinking to themselves, the guy's got high approval ratings. I mean, maybe, in other words, vote with the Republicans to postpone it, because the president has high approval numbers. Their candidate is horrendous. Maybe then they could affect some change,
Make Governor Cuomo the real candidate.
Yeah, and say, okay, let's do it in a year, as opposed to November 20th.
It's not crazy. I mean, as it is right now, they've started the next hoax. You know, Russia, Ukraine. Now it's the Pelosi Committee, which is going to keep an eye on Donald Trump. By the way, we're already a couple of months into this.
This is the worst. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is Adam Schiff. The people who caused this, who were asleep at the switch, shut government down while this silent enemy was invading these shores, and they were distracting the president. And even though he did have his eye on the ball, and the travel ban, and he mentioned at the State of the Union, the task force, all of that stuff, before the end of January he did it while he was on trial. They were doing nothing. And no. They're going to start a task force to investigate the president? Endless investigations?
Please. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Also a radio legend, very, very good friend of mine and Bernie's that we've known for the better part of 30 years. He's going to say goodbye today because of this virus. He had to take a bite. We'll get to that. And then we want to hear from you folks out there, like my wife who've been furloughed or laid off or fired. There's tons of you, I'm sure. And if you're listening, maybe we can give you a pep talk. Or me, I'll make it worse for you. Trust me. But we want to hear from you guys anyway. So phones are open all day. We've got two great guests. It is a Friday, and you're with Bernie and Sid. So that's the good news. Everything else? Ay, ay, ay.
Take it away.
The power of information. The freedom to talk about it. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Politics, but I just want to go back to the way we were. Here's Barbra Streisand, the way we were.
Misty watercolor memories of the way we were.
Don't get me wrong, spending time with Danielle Evan Gabriel is great. So we've talked about this for weeks now. There are some silver linings here. By the way, happy birthday to my dear friend Corey Zelnick's fiance Jessica. Happy birthday to you. But I just want to go back to the way we were. You know, watching a movie last night, which we do every day. I mean, I'm happy a lot of folks out there are taking some of my television recommendations and actually watching stuff.
Well, my own family has taken. They're all. I think my daughter and her boyfriend have binge watched their way through the whole
Ozark,
three seasons of Ozark.
Yeah,
no, I had no idea they were watching.
How about that? Best show on TV. Good job out of your daughter. Good job out of the McGurk family. Well, last night we watched, because now we're watching Netflix and Amazon Prime, and now we're watching Apple TV.
My son, for the I think this may be his third time around, the entire Sopranos through all the years.
Yeah.
For the third time, I guess he's introducing his girlfriend now.
Right. It's new, right. I mean, it's 20-something years old.
And my daughter's boyfriend watched it for the second time as well. Sopranos.
Listen, you got time to kill. You may as well go back to some of the great shows. But there's a lot of great new stuff. And so we've been through the Netflix stuff. We've been through the Amazon Prime stuff. Now we're on Apple TV. We got that now. And what's it called came out? Bad Boys for Life. which is a great, what do you call that? When they make a couple of movies, what do they call that?
Trilogy, a sequel?
Yeah, but it's also, whatever it is. It happens to be a trilogy. This is the third one.
Okay.
And a lot of years in between numbers two and three, but whatever they call it. It's Martin Lawrence and it's Will Smith. And it's down in Miami. And the movie starts and it's a car chase and Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are in their Porsche driving through Miami, a spot that I know very, very well. And I said the same thing to Danielle and Gabe last night, which is, oh, my God, look, there's people outside. There's like, there are people eating on Miami Beach. There's two people in the same car. There's people. I mean, you got people like this psycho. This guy should be put away. He's so dangerous. This governor of New Jersey, this a-hole Bill Murphy.
Yeah,
forgetting about stay at home. That's fine. Dr. Fauci wants the whole country to stay at home. You want to do that? You want to follow these ridiculous things? Yeah, go do it because maybe we'll get this thing over with sooner than later. But this idiot Murphy is telling folks that are with their own wives and kids to social distance. Are you nuts? If you're home and all you've got are your wife and kids, first of all, bang 10 times a day if your significant other is willing to do that. 10 times a day. What do you mean social distance from your wife or your husband and your kids? Is he nuts?
It's not practical. It's not practical. You just can't do it. You can't be in the same house and social distance from your...
You shouldn't.
You just can't.
Take advantage of being home.
Listen, way overdoing it. Fear-mongering. He's nasty and he's just way over the top. Phil Murphy, I mean, just, you're not Governor Cuomo, and Governor Cuomo ain't all that either, but you're not Governor Cuomo, so shut up, Phil Murphy, will you please?
One call, then we'll go to break. Here is Michael, he's in Manhattan, he's on line four this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Sid, it was your wife who lost the job, right?
That's correct.
Okay, there's going to be a point where Mrs. Bernie is going to say, my God, I earned more money today than I did the entire week work from that sleazeball law firm. And I don't care who the law firm is. They're all sleazeballs, okay? And she has to get out there and network. And I'm telling you, she can make a really good living just getting referrals.
No, listen, she will. She's a tremendous attorney. I'm not going to lie to you. As soon as I mentioned, Michael, 2 days ago on the air that she's been furloughed, her phone started ringing off the hook. So eventually she's going to be fine. The problem is right now there's no courts open. I mean, Nassau does have teleconference courts, and the criminal courts are open. But for the most part, courts are closed, and even the law business, for the most part, is shut down. So she has to wait like everybody else. She's no different to get back to work. I'm not worried about her long term, Michael. Thank you. She's a brilliant attorney. She'll get a great job. But right now, for the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, while we're going through this, we take a hit. We take a big hit, like a lot of you folks have.
Right. Some people... they have no income whatsoever.
None.
So, you know, I mean,
yeah, that's why
it could always be worse.
It could always be worse. Yes, but it's just, I want people to know that it's because somebody is still working or making money doesn't mean that they're not having their own issues. Because
not everybody, look, it's just a tough, stressful period right now for everybody.
Yeah. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Every phone line is lit. We're going to get to you guys. We love that. This audience has been so tremendous. I mean, tremendous over this difficult period. And as much as you say, Bernie and I help you, which believe me when I tell you, we really love that. That means a lot to us. You guys are helping us. One big family here. And we'll be right back.
Born and bred New York.
Yeah, make it there.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
That's us.
77 WABC.
That is us here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. I guess a little silver lining. There was an inmate in Sing Sing prison. He was locked up for child sex abuse. Child sex abuse. Anyway, the gentleman died. He died of coronavirus, locked up for child sex abuse, and he died. So, take that for what it's worth. I mean, you know, the disease does not discriminate. A lot of good people dying, but some bad people. Let's go to David in Brooklyn. Good morning to you, David.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there, David.
So I'm a paramedic in New York City.
Thank you for what you do, bro. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If this is any indication that things are getting better, earlier this week, I think we peaked at about 7,200 EMS calls in a day. Last night, we actually went down to about a little over 6,500 calls. So things might be getting better.
We'll take it. Every little indicator of optimism, I'll take. That's for sure. David, what about the 250 ambulances with the two per crew? So that's 500 people, 250 ambulances. Is that, that's going to help you guys out tremendously, no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They came from FEMA. They landed. They were in Staten Island yesterday and then spread out throughout the five boroughs. They're needed desperately. Again, David, thank you very much for that. Tommy is in the Bronx. Good morning to you, Tommy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, now.
Hey, did you guys happen to catch the presser, you know, yesterday with the president? He's trying to downplay what's going on in some states versus, let's say, New York, and they want it all shut down. If there's nothing going on in Wisconsin, I know you guys keep bringing up Wisconsin.
Right, but the fear is that this is going to move, this virus will move west.
Well, it's a rolling situation. Where,
right.
Yeah, this is the beginning for the country. Though California is peaking, so it's going to like sort of move from the west and the east inward. It's going to like
across the Midwest,
a pincer movement, if you will.
I mean, Detroit's getting, I guess they're saying Detroit right now is getting hammered, but you look at the numbers and they dwarf in comparison to what's going on here. So they use words like hotspot and getting crushed for places like Michigan and Louisiana. It's a joke compared to here.
Well,
a joke,
unless you consider it per capita.
I guess
that's the way. That's why. That's when it's it's a serious problem because it is clustered and per capita.
Yeah.
We're not as bad as for example. And I'll bring that up in one of the future segments. They say that the United States leads the globe in cases of coronavirus, and you had Hillary Clinton actually tweet out, "Well, President Trump said America first." Right. You know, can you believe what an ugly person she is? To mock the suffering and deaths of people and be glad about it because she thinks it hurts President Trump. Anyway, the point is this: per capita, we're not the first. You have countries like countries in Europe,
Italy,
France, Spain,
sure,
for example, just to name three, that are ahead of us per capita.
Right.
I mean, we're a big, big country, so percentage-wise, we're not the leader.
But we're still cooking, so.
Oh, we're a hot spot.
we're still cooking.
Yeah, but the tweet like that and for people to mimic it on MSNBC, Joy Reid and these creeps, it really makes you want to throw up.
Yeah, Bernie and Sid, hour number two coming your way right after Deb with the news.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Springsteen wrote this after 9/11 with The Rising. This is My City in Ruins. Yes, Bill de Blasio. My city, where I live and I work and my family lives and works and my kids go to school. New York City, Manhattan, is in ruins. 1-800-848-WABC.
He's lucky because crime was rising dramatically.
Yeah,
rising. It was rising. And the second 2 weeks of March, that really helped him out, helped drop the crime rate. But it was rising for the first 2.5 months.
And everybody knows nobody's going outside, so no one's going to give him credit for that. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Do want to wish a fond farewell to a very good friend of mine, Ed Bernard, somebody we've known for over 30 years in this business, who later on this afternoon will do his very last update ever. After 33 years, he was there from day one back in 1987 at WFAN. The great John Minko, and I got to tell you, one of my fondest memories in this business was when I first met Imus back in 2001 after working at WNEW with Craig Harton. And Imus was hiring me. He was told by Chernoff to hire me. There was no choice. And he was against it because he didn't hire me. In other words, Chernoff went to Don and said, "Here's your guy," and Imus didn't like that. He kind of resented the fact.
And I'm surprised to hear that that's the way it went down because
oh, yeah.
they wouldn't hire a carpet cleaner at FAN
without Imus's approval.
That's right. And Chernoff was like, listen, the guy just did a year at WNEW. He's funny. He's quick. You're going to love him. And I told you when he first took me over to meet Imus at 30 Rock when you guys were doing the radiothon, and he said, Don, here's Sid Rosenberg. He wouldn't even look at me. Never shook my hand. He just walked away.
That was par for the course.
Well, I didn't know that. I said to Chernoff, I go, I can't work for this guy. He didn't even look at me. So he said, don't worry.
He's like that. Don't worry.
Look, that was part of his thing. You know, that's just the way he was.
God rest his soul. So anyway, so what he did was to make it sound like it was exciting and he wasn't buying into it necessarily, even though I was hired, he put together this update competition. Because at the time, Imus was using John Minkel and Warner Wolf throughout the week. They were splitting the time.
Yeah, I remember it well.
And Warner was on his way out, and Imus really wanted somebody full-time, and he did like me from the very beginning. So anyway, long story short, we put on this, you know, this dog and pony show, me versus John Minkel. And you remember, Bernie, inside the very small studios in Astoria, Queens, at WFAN back then, now they're down on Hudson Street, but it was a small little studio with mold and the ceiling falling down. You had about 30 people. Mike Breen, Mike Lupica, your buddies, Monterio Ivy and
yeah,
Stefan Dweck.
They were the judges.
Dick Cavett.
That's right.
Mike and the Mad Dog on the phone. Deirdre Imus on the phone. They were the judges, like 30 of
right.
us.
Right. It was sort of a Survivor type
same
setup.
Exact thing.
Yeah.
That's right. Before there maybe even was a Survivor. This was like Survivor.
No, I think it was based on the Survivor
model.
Okay,
about the same time, yeah. Probably, yes. Joseph Abboud was there and Patrick Mackerel. Anyway, make a long story short, I think I won. Maybe I didn't win, but regardless, I got the job.
No, you didn't win.
I didn't win.
No.
But they gave me the job.
It was always in the cards that
right.
that was going to happen. But for the sake of programming,
right.
they went through with the Survivor contest thing. And yeah. it was actually amusing. And yeah.
It was funny. I remember I had to kiss John Minko's ass. He was wearing a bathing suit.
Yeah.
The little ones that girls
right.
wear that show basically
yeah.
their whole body.
It was unbelievable.
It was hilarious.
It was humiliating.
it was great.
But he
though.
Did it.
So that was one of my fondest memories. But of course, seeing John in that newsroom every single day for the better part of, I was only there for 5 or 6 years every day and 15 years going back and forth. You were there for, God knows, 20 years.
I was there with him for 19 plus years.
Wow.
Me and John Minko and then the rest of the gang.
The Mink Man is going to do his last update on Francesa's show later on today. So best to you, John Minko. Just another casualty in this, in this war, if you will. It's a word everybody uses now, so I'm not going to feel guilty about it. This war on this virus, which is economically just destroying this country quicker than the actual sickness is. We went over that this morning already. I know we have a poll up at Bernie and Sid on Twitter. I tweet it every day, but there is a poll now at Bernie and Sid, which basically asks the question, do you think the economics of this thing are worse than the virus? And my answer is yes, I absolutely do. 1-800-848-9222. That's the number.
The country of Sweden
yeah.
has decided to forego quarantine, self-isolation, all that stuff. In other words, business is open as usual.
They're selling watches, knives, chocolate.
Everything. Well, not, you're thinking of Switzerland, but...
No, Sweden too has that.
Well, okay. Well, yeah. whatever. Sweden yeah. Is... Anyway, they're continuing business as usual, and they only have 300 deaths.
That's it?
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, the disease is not contained, but still, they're not shutting down the economy.
Well,
so that's one country to look at to see... How, if we're making the right choice or not.
Well, the sports world has taken a beating. Minko, of course, works at WFAN. They've got all kinds of issues at Entercom anyway. But they of course, we talked about London canceling three major events. Wimbledon for the first time since World War II, 1945. The British Open, the Claret Jug on the line, that's been canceled. And even the Cubs-Cardinals series, fresh off the humongous success that was the Yankees and Red Sox in London last year when we were there, my family. So the sports is becoming an issue with people. I do about 6 or 7 sports shows every week. That's not an exaggeration. I did 3 yesterday, Kansas City, Miami, and San Diego.
Jeez.
And they want sports back. They want it back.
Oh, yeah.
They want it back. And listen, there's a lot of people. The NFL draft, for example, is set to take place on April the 23rd. Locally here, the football Giants have the number 4 pick in the draft. It's a very important draft for the Giants. And I've talked about this before, but now there's a lot of people, including Paul Schwartz, who's a very, very popular local columnist. He covers the Giants for the New York Post, and they want the draft to be postponed. You can't do it in April. I mean, April was still basically the whole country is shut down. What good is the NFL draft on April 23rd? So people like him want them to postpone the draft. And we've talked about the NBA having one postseason tournament in Las Vegas. So teams will not be playing. And now baseball players like Ottavino with the Yankees saying this morning, if we have to play baseball in neutral sites with no fans for a month, we're okay with that. So people want sports back, but it's not going to look anything like the sports we've been used to in this country. Nothing like
it. You can kiss this year goodbye.
The whole year, right?
Essentially. Maybe the NFL season may be salvaged. Maybe.
That's what they're saying. They should start that on time. But I'll say this, too. You know, right now in this time of despair and everyday 9-to-5 people really struggling, and even me, again, my wife getting furloughed this week. It doesn't matter who you are. People are feeling this all over the dial. But to see the back of the local papers today that Tom Brady, fresh off signing a 2-year, $50 million contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, $25 million a year, he'll get every single penny of that, has now moved into Derek Jeter's 35,000-square-foot mansion in Tampa. They're calling it St. Jetersburg. You think people really want to see that right now?
It's really obscene.
Right?
Really, it's obscene. That and, of course, J-Lo and A-Rod coming out of the gym.
Right.
That had the clothes signs on it and their aides wiping down handles for them. It's just, I mean, it really is obscene in this time. But on the bright side, though, Robert Kraft, he actually sent the team plane, the team jet, out to China to pick up 1.7 million masks.
Wow.
These N95 respirators. These are heavy duty. They're used for miners, for construction workers, and for doctors. At his own cost, 1.4 will go to the state of Massachusetts. 300,000 will come to New York. Robert Kraft doing a great thing for this country, for Massachusetts and New York in particular.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all this selfishness and obscene, garish behavior, you have that.
Yeah. I know Victor in Brooklyn has been calling every single day. I'm not putting him on. I did say Sunday on Sit Sports Sunday that I do believe Donald Trump is very motivated by the economy in an effort to win re-election. He's been boasting about the economy for 3 years, which he's done an amazing job with. I never said on my show here with Bernie or Sunday, Donald Trump doesn't care about people or Donald Trump doesn't care about people dying. All I said was I believe the bigger motivation for him is to improve this economy to make sure he gets re-elected in November. But I never said he doesn't care about people, Victor. So stop calling every day.
The two go hand in hand. When you do well as a president for the people, you get reelected.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And he does care about the people. He connects with people,
I don't think he doesn't care about the people.
He's a blue-collar president, as a matter of fact.
But I know he's scared to death that if the economy really goes south, that a guy like Joe Biden can win.
And so am I.
I know you are.
And you are as well.
Of course.
As you should be. Everybody, every right-thinking American should be terrified of the fact that of a Democratic president, and God forbid, a Democratic Congress.
All right, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Have you been furloughed, laid off, or fired? We want to hear from you. We're going to make you feel, Bernie's going to make you feel better this morning. I'm going to make you feel worse. And then we got two great guests coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Bernie and Sid on a Friday. Keep it right here.
New York opinions, New York attitude. Bernie and Sid in the morning, 77 WABC.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. You know, a couple of sidebars to this coronavirus lockdown. 10 million people applied for unemployment. You've heard that. The numbers come out for the month of March at 8:30. We await those. Should be interesting. 6-7%. I don't know what the hell the figure is going to be, but it's not going to be good. It was 3.5% last month. But in any case, San Francisco. First of all, let me do a shout-out to Matt Meany. He's our normal board op and producer as well, and Jill Vitale. They're great. They're working hard from home, and we miss the hell out of them. Jill, this is for you. The San Francisco is actually reversing its ban on plastic bags. San Francisco is reversing its ban on plastic bags. They were the first in the nation to implement it in 2007.
Now, why are they doing that, Bernard?
Because the reusable bags, Sydney, they carry germs, bacteria, and possibly the coronavirus, which I know you all remember me saying that here.
Listen, and I agreed with you back then. I find it so disgusting that people bring their bags back. And I hate to say this, but Whenever I see signs about reusable bags, I think of condoms, which is really terrible. But when I see people walk into Gristini's with bags they used before, it just looks gross.
It does.
Right?
It looks. And you're bringing, you don't know what you're bringing. You're bringing bugs, probably,
right,
perhaps germs for sure. But San Francisco, where they're experiencing a severe outbreak of coronavirus, they've come to their senses. Of all places, enlightened, woke San Francisco, reversing the ban on plastic bags. Keep your reusable bags at home. And also Malaysia, the government of Malaysia, and a series of online posters and commercials on Malaysian TV. They urge women during this. It's hashtag women prevent COVID-19. They urge women to dress up nicely and wear makeup and to avoid nagging their husbands. Nagging. They use the word nagging their husbands during the coronavirus lockdown.
What do you mean by nagging? What are they doing, the women? I feel like it's the other way around. The husband's probably nagging the wives.
Well, that's nice of you to say. But this is what the Malaysia has said.
Malaysia.
Malaysia. And they also depict a poster of a man sitting on a sofa telling women to refrain from being sarcastic if they need help with household chores.
Oh, God. Men are such scumbags. We really are scumbags. We really are.
Well, no, this is Malaysia. They apologized yesterday for it.
Oh, it's only Malaysia. It doesn't happen in Brooklyn.
Well, no. I mean, we're not. There's no PSAs. There's no commercials here saying, telling women to wear makeup, dress up nice, and stop nagging.
No, that's
husbands.
True. That's
but,
true.
Yeah. I just thought that was absolutely. I mean, you talk about a 19th century mentality there.
And that's not the only place that feels that way about women, of course. The casino feel the same way.
Well,
I always get in trouble for saying that, but
well, a lot of people maybe feel that way, but we don't have official policies from the government like they do there. Let's go to Danny is Long Island. He's always a smart caller. I love Danny. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, guys. Hope everybody's doing well. My son busted out of the quarantine yesterday like Steve McQueen on his bicycle, and all of a sudden one of his friends showed up on a bike. He said, "Dad, can I go for a ride?" I said, "Why not? Tell me how that's not healthy." Four kids, they rode through the preserve for an hour, they came back all fresh-faced. And
absolutely.
But anyway, you know, Sid's right, and you're right. We have to start winding this down. And you want to call it a war? Well, I'm in the middle of a great book about the early days of the Ballot of Bulge and how the military decided within 24 hours that the 9th Armored Division was going to be sacrificed because they couldn't help them, they couldn't save them, they couldn't reinforce them. They were to delay the action so the men could get to Bastogne, and that's where the fight would be made. They didn't like it. They weren't happy about it, but in war, casualties exist. The best generals make plans, and they know people are going to die. Yeah. We don't want anyone to die.
No.
But we have to have a country worth living in when the war is over. So we have to. It's never going to get to 0%. This is never disappearing. So you have to get to an acceptable level. Do everything we can to protect the vulnerable and the old.
Bingo.
And let everybody else get back to work.
You don't want the cure to be worse than the disease,
exactly,
which could very well possibly be. We seem to be on our way to that.
Right.
If we can weather this in the month of April, fine. But after that, I mean, then you got to go. If it doesn't work, if the curve is not flattening by the end of April, you got to start opening things. And as he said, quarantine, self-isolate the vulnerable, the elderly, the diabetics, the lung and heart disease people.
Yes.
And the rest of us will go back to work. And whoever gets it, gets it. I mean, but you can't, because the trade-off is you're going to have more people with suicides and alcoholism, domestic abuse, murders, crime, a massive inflation, all kinds of things, if this economy stays shut down.
I agree. I think it's got to be May. I mean, my fear is that most stuff's not going to open until June, including the courts. But I think after this month in May, whether it's the first week, the second week, we got to start to do this. I would do it in April, of course, but I keep getting ripped on Twitter for being insensitive. You can call me whatever you want. I don't care.
Well, you know, these projections say it's all going to peak in April. So let's play that out. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but the problem is when it peaks, I keep saying this to you, it's not over when it peaks. Then it starts to come down. That could take another month before you're at the point where we're okay.
But let's let it peak first before we start. Even while it's coming down, we can start reopening as it comes down.
I would hope so.
Hopefully not too early, but, you know.
Right, but hopefully, but not too late either. So it's delicate. It's a very, listen.
It's a fine line, Sid.
Yeah, I mean, there are days I feel badly for President Trump. I even feel badly for de Blasio, and I hate him with all my guts. And I even feel badly for Governor Cuomo because these are difficult decisions. But I think that they really have to start to pay more attention to the other stuff. I mean, you know, they tell you in one hand that there's less people going to the hospital. Then the very next sentence they go, but if we don't get ventilators in 6 days, everybody's going to die. I mean, Come on, man.
The ventilators.
Ventilators. I mean, when was the last time you heard the word ventilator before this virus?
Well, I know Cuomo heard it in 2015 when his health commission said, look, we're short 16,000. What do you want to do?
Good point.
Forget about it. We'll just ration them if we need them. Uh-huh. Some will die and some won't. We'll make decisions. But don't worry. Let me go build up a solar plant in Buffalo. That failed. That was corrupt. That's what he did.
1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Still two great guests to come. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour, including somebody that continues to brave the conditions and shows up, well, just about naked in Times Square every day. More of Bernie and Sid right after this.
New York proud. New York loud. Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC.
Back here in the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. You know, that cruise ship nightmare down in Florida, they were turned away by country after country. I mean, it's actually a cruise ship that started, I believe, in Chile and went to Argentina or something. And then they developed coronavirus and they were just going up and down the coast of the South Atlantic, the North Atlantic, looking for a place to... Well, not the North Atlantic. I guess as far north as Florida, to dock, to get off the boat and get treated. And everybody said, hell no, you ain't coming here. And Governor DeSantis said the same thing. He said, no. There's 300 Americans on it. Most of the people were Brits and Canucks. You had four dead people. Four people were dead. There were kids on it as well. And Governor DeSantis says, what do you want from me? It's not my problem. Get the hell out of here. But... of course, public pressure, media attention made him cave, and he allowed the ships to dock yesterday. Anyway, he had a statement on it. Listen to DeSantis.
There's a relatively small number of people on those two ships who are going to need medical care in the hospital. I think the accommodations have been made. As the foreign nationals leave, they're going to be leaving on chartered planes. They're not going to come in contact with the general public.
So he ended up, right, he put them straight on the planes, the foreign nationals, the Canucks, the Brits, or whoever the hell they were, immediately get the hell out of the country, which is good. I like that. And he allowed people who were not showing symptoms to come in. Some were showing symptoms, I believe. No, actually, he made the people with the symptoms stay on the ship. So there was about 30 people left on the ship, and he let the rest out. The other Americans can go back to from whence they came. But he was really being a hard ass for a long time towards these people on the ship. And I guess I don't blame him. This day and age. Look, also down in Florida, they had this this company. I think it's called 3M. Did you hear this? 3M. They're actually, they were selling ventilators, and Florida was trying to buy some ventilators, as Governor Cuomo calls them. And 3M, they had an order in, and 3M kept saying, look, we have... foreign countries that are coming, and they're paying us cash. So we're selling to them first, so your order got pushed back. And the president actually had to invoke the Defense Production Act and force them to stop doing it. And now they're tweeting out pictures of them unloading ventilators to local governments here in the States. But, I mean, some people are despicable. They're trying to exploit this thing. You know, some of these politicians, Pelosi, Schiff. Schiff wants a – he's got a commission going. He's trying to get a commission going to investigate the president. It's incredible. It's unbelievable what these guys are doing. How about this guy David in Nyack, New York? Is David ready to come on the air here? How about go to Bill? Go to Bill, Isaiah, would you please?
Hey, how you doing? My wife and I are afraid, Doug. We might – kill each other. Wait, she wants to say a quick hello.
I'm depressed, I can't wait, my face broke out, I'm nauseous, I'm constipated, my feet swell, my gums are bleeding, my stomach is bleeding. Can I have?
That's funny,
that's
though.
Old Bill Duran, and that's not really what I wanted to say, but the only good thing through this whole thing, and I'm not saying it's a message from God, but there's been no abortions during this because of the elective surgery.
Oh, is that
and,
right?
Yeah.
You know, they were having, they tried to force that issue down in Texas. Texas was pushing back on Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood was trying to open up and say, hey, abortions are not elective necessarily. They're necessary.
Yeah, but, and, you know, maybe it will come out better. Maybe we'll get our priorities straight. Maybe our youth, they might whine to God that they don't have everything they want right now. But, you know, puts things in perspective. How important is the third bedroom right now in the transgender issue?
Yeah, Bill, I love it. They saw some Brooklyn wisdom right there from big old Bill on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Hello. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. The band just, they're still on a break. Anyway, listen, folks, it's we're heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. Happy Friday, if that applies. I don't know if it does. It probably doesn't. I know it doesn't to Sid. We talked about it earlier, but today is day 18.
Yeah.
The federal economic forced a government shutdown, a business shutdown, commerce, everything. Day 18, Sidney.
Not everybody is paying heed. I know that there is a there was a after-hours club, which I used to frequent back in my partying days, and I'm sure you did too, Bernard. In fact, I used to go to a place by Avenue U and Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn that sit up until 11 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, they busted a guy in Brooklyn a couple days ago who was selling liquor and having illegal gambling games and drugs and all kind of stuff at some place in Brooklyn. Just a couple days ago, and they busted him, and he actually got arrested. But they did find a couple of restaurants that are not abiding by this. And what they do is, it's tough on you. They will arrest you sometimes, most of the time give you a summons, but they take away your liquor license. And that's a killer. That's a killer.
Listen, you got to follow the rules.
You have to.
You got to follow. If you get busted, you got to pay a price.
And some of these people, like Phil Murphy in New Jersey,
look,
he's a psycho.
We want to actually end this as soon as possible. If they're telling us that this is effective and we're putting our trust in them because we're not sure if it's actually the right thing to do, what they're doing. I mean, yesterday we had the unemployment numbers, 6.6, so we're up to 10 million people already lost their jobs. We're going to look at that jobs number coming out at 8:30.
I'd rather not.
The percentage is 6, 7. It's going to be unbelievable. But this is, you know, it's unsustainable. I mean, I think.
It is. It is.
It really is,
not
right?
You think. It is, yeah.
I mean, and not only that you got people out of work, but everybody cooped up at home, the stress that's going on between people. You know, it's just we can only do it for so long before we need some good news from people.
I think most of us have resigned to the fact that April, this is it. We're shut down for April. The country is closed for April. We got that.
Fine.
But you got to start by May 1 giving us a reason to believe, some real concrete.
At that point, you start to just self-isolate the vulnerable. Let everybody else go back to work.
Right.
Because the cost is more, you know, the cure is worse than the disease.
No question. And again, not just to reiterate myself, I've said that every day on Twitter. I take a savage beating. I'm insensitive. I'm a prick. All these things. I don't care. That's fine. But if they come back on May 1st and they go, listen, we're going to start to slowly do that. And they give us a date. They go, you know, realistically, after Memorial Day weekend, even June 1, if somebody told me on May 1, you got another month of this, but then it's over, June 1, I'd feel better. But much like the fear about this virus, the overwhelming fear, folks, it's not the numbers. It's the unknown. It's the same thing for me with the shutdown in the economy,
but
the unknown.
Either way, everybody is predicting that this is going to be, it's going to peak in April. Everybody is predicting that. The numbers, the models have been wrong in the past, but the question is this, of course, you know, you don't want to kill the patient, right? The patient is the country, and you don't want to cripple the economy permanently because people will, you know, they'll alcoholism, depression, suicides, domestic abuse, all types of things, murders, crime, despair, poverty, you don't want that. And that's what you get when you get a severe recession / depression. You do not want that.
No. And plus, we're going to get to the point eventually where Netflix is out of shows and Amazon
that
Prime
too.
And Apple. I mean, we've watched everything
thank
already.
God forbid you'd have to read a book.
Oh, God, no one wants to do that.
So listen to Andrew Cuomo. This is what he says now. Yesterday is his latest prediction on when the apex will occur.
It's anywhere from 7 to 21 to 30 days, depending on what model you look at. Well, how can you have that variable, 7 to 30 days? It depends on how that model rates how effective social distancing is.
So those models, by the way, they're given to us by these health professionals.
Yeah.
First, it was the the Imperial College in England, the model, which they based the entire economic shutdown on that.
Yeah.
They predicted millions of people were going to die in this country. Now they're down, and 500,000, a half million in the UK. In the UK, they're down to about, we believe it might be like more like 8,000 instead of 500,000.
Big difference.
And in the United States, they're projecting 100,000 to 240. So that's a big difference from the millions that they were projecting back then when they shut everything down.
Huge difference. By the way, I did see Andrew Cuomo last night. I caught this. I don't know why. I was, channel surfing with Rachel Maddow. That hurt a little bit because I've been saying nice things about Cuomo and how much he gained respect. I saw what Rachel Maddow. I'm like, oh, and then at the very end, she's like, and by the way, we love your brother, Chris, and all of us in this business love your brother, Chris. I'm going, I don't know, Chris. I'm in the business. In fact, he annoys the hell out of me. But we love your brother, Chris, and the best him, and of course, Andrew.
That's why the media is, they're slobbering over Andrew Cuomo now. But like, when they should be slobbering over, really, Mike Pence.
But as Howard Stern said yesterday, did hear some of Howard's show, nobody in the country right now is having more of the P word thrown at them than Mayor Cuomo. He's single. And his inbox is loaded with women who want to sleep with Andrew Cuomo. Loaded, Bernard.
Whatever.
I say whatever, but he's the most eligible bachelor in the world right now.
So anyway, is this massive lockdown worth it? Listen, this is Cut 26. This is from our colleague, the great one, Mark Levin. Listen to him.
For the Governor Cuomo, you're going to pick a human life or a dollar bill? Of course we're going to pick a dollar bill. Governor, if this economy tanks, there are no hospitals, there's no ventilators, there's no vaccines, there's no doctors, nobody's working.
That's the bottom line. If we're not economically viable, not only can we not help ourselves, we can't help the world. We respond to tragedies all over the globe. We won't be able to help anybody, not even ourselves. So that's why putting the economy back, getting it back, is paramount right now. And just containing the virus as best you can, self-isolating the vulnerable, and letting those who can go back to work.
Let me ask you a question that I get asked every day when I make these appearances on these sports talk stations. And I have two more today, by the way. I'm always asked the same thing. What do you think, Sid, will come back first? Sports or restaurants? Now, look, the sports, again, baseball's talking about playing games in empty stadiums.
Yeah, well, that's what will come back first. Empty stadiums, people who have tested negative will play the games, and you'll have empty stadiums.
So you think sports, it'll come back in empty stadiums before restaurants where you have to have people congregating. Sports,
yeah,
first.
I think so.
I agree.
But I mean, other businesses will open where people will work, and they'll try to social distance, 6 feet apart or whatever.
I mean, accountants, law firms, as long as they're not in court with a bunch of people.
You have to open up commerce, and you have to. So, I mean, maybe they'll both come back at the same time. I don't know.
I can tell you this. My pizza guy on 103rd and Broadway, it's a very good pizza. I know you love your guy. What's his
East End Pizza.
East End Pizza.
I tell you, East End Pizza makes it sound like some schlubby corner. No, it's a great restaurant.
No, I know you love it. Right. It's a restaurant, not just a pizzeria.
And the takeout is a lifesaver for me these days.
Okay, fine. We took out from Serafino last night, but I did get lunch for Gabriel. He wanted pizza. And my guy's there every afternoon, a Broadway pizza. He's getting killed. He's getting killed.
Yeah.
He said, I can't even afford to pay for the cheese
anymore.
Right,
so that's why we have to get
back. Forget about employees. I can't buy the cheese.
That's why we have to get back, Sidney. So now, listen, you wore a mask this morning.
I did.
On the subway.
Yeah.
This is the mayor from yesterday. Listen to him.
But now we're adding a new important point. We're advising New Yorkers to wear a face covering when you go outside and will be near other people.
So there you go. Now, I think he's trying to upstage Governor Cuomo, because Governor Cuomo sort of upstaged him the day before when he said, we're going to close all the playgrounds, when the day before that, de Blasio said, I'm only closing 10 playgrounds. And so that so de Blasio's thinking, what can I announce today that will grab all the media attention or whatever? And it was that everybody should wear a mask. Now, he recommends you don't wear a surgical mask.
Right.
Wear a scarf or a bandana. In other words, he wants us all to look like Antifa thugs.
Basically, yes. Yes.
Right. And
when he closes the playgrounds, de Blasio, all of them, or Cuomo, excuse me, that's in Manhattan or in all five boroughs?
All five boroughs.
So Brooklyn, all the playgrounds are closed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why would he discriminate? In fact, Queens is the hardest hit borough.
That's true. They're like over 15,000 cases in Queens now. Well, and by the way, if you go down Flushing and those types of places, there's a lot of Asian people. I'm not saying that's why, but it seems to me the most Asians concentrated in one place is in Queens. Is that not right?
That is true. Flushing,
right?
You could make that
Northern Boulevard.
You could make that conclusion, that inference, whatever.
I take the Long Island Railroad to Met games when we used to have baseball in this country. You remember that? We had baseball in this country? Anyway.
Sanjay Gupta says wearing masks is good. Not necessarily that it protects you. It protects people with no symptoms. People with no symptoms go out. They don't know they have it, but they're spreading it. So if you might have symptoms, I mean, you might have the disease, but you don't have symptoms.
I'm asymptomatic.
Right. So if you wear a mask, you're actually protecting other people.
Yeah.
Like, you're not wearing one right now, and you're not protecting me.
Well,
you wear it on the subway on your way home, you're protecting other people.
It's like they tell you coffee's good for you, then it's bad for you. Wine is good for you, then it's bad for you.
Well, in this case,
it's good for you, now it's going to kill you.
They got it all wrong.
But they keep going back and forth. They told us for months and months this thing is not airborne. And now every story on Drudge today says you can get it in the air. You can breathe it in. You can absolutely breathe it in. And there are more people getting it. I mean, which one is it, damn it?
So that's why public officials should not be making policy decisions. It should be the elected officials should be making the decision. Listen to the experts.
I don't listen to anybody.
And then factor in the fact that they made mistakes, that Dr. Fauci said on January 26th that John Catsimatidis on his radio show that coronavirus is not going to be a problem. I mean, factor that in when he recommends, an entire economic shutdown, that he might be wrong.
Listen, we got four people in my household. Thank God everybody's healthy. No one's had the virus. No one's getting the virus. And we're doing all the right things. But I don't listen to all these people. I'm tired of it. I mean, because every day is a different story. It doesn't matter whether you're Fauci or Oz or it doesn't matter. Every day is Oz told us for the longest time that it wasn't airborne.
That,
now it is.
That masks were not necessary.
Right. I mean, it's insane.
It is. So it just teaches you, get a second opinion when you go to a doctor for something serious. Get a second opinion because they're fallible on the Bernie and Sid show.
That's actually high for you. You have a very low resting heart rate.
Very low. It has gone down as low as 38 since I've gotten this Fitbit while I slept.
Yeah.
And it normal is about 48, 49. 200 the other day, I almost had a heart attack looking at that, but then I Googled it, and it said...
It's normal. It's normal.
It's relatively normal.
Yeah, it's normal.
But that's a new thing. Now, the heart's even getting stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the running.
I said this before. I may not look as good in a Joseph Abboud suit as I did a month and a half ago, but I'm healthier now than I've been in years because I'm doing the same thing as you, running every day, eating better, doing sit-ups. I've lost about 11 pounds. So, yeah, we're going to be healthier. Man, look, it's good. We're going
to
be healthier.
Now, I can't wait till tonight and tomorrow night to have a couple of pops, I
got
to tell you.
Oh, you get to do that, yeah. That's true. You don't drink at all during the week, though. You keep it because you work hard. I got it. Yeah. All right, listen, the question is out there. Bernie's going to come back with some more info on what's going on locally, nationally. But if everything opened at the same time, hey, Lebrosi, what are you doing? If the restaurants and the gyms and the bars and all these things open at the same time, what's the first thing you go and do?
It's got to be restaurant. Come on, right, Dave?
Got to be restaurant for Dave, right?
Because you're a gourmet.
He likes eating good places.
You're an Epicurean type of guy.
Give us your answer. Here's our program. He's done a great job.
What was the question? I wasn't listening.
Nobody else either, by the way.
No, that's not true.
No, I know. Our ratings are going through the roof.
Hey, I need headphones. Oh, Bernie. Go ahead.
Listen.
You can hear me. If everything opens at the same exact time, they announce Dave Lebrosi, our brilliant program director.
Thank you.
That 10 o'clock Monday morning, everything's open.
Yes.
Restaurants, bars, tanning salons, hair salons, baseball.
Gyms.
Gyms. Everything opens 10 o'clock on Monday. Where's the first place you go?
Restaurant.
That's what I figured. Okay.
What did I say?
Yeah, no, Bernie knew. Bernie was right. Bernie knows me well.
Absolutely.
What do I order, though? That's the thing.
Right. Well, is there a particular restaurant you go to?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
No, not. But there's a particular food that I like.
You got to be your Italian food. Come on. You're Lebrosi.
No, but the problem is nobody makes. I mean, when you grow up around it, it's hard to match what you get at home.
Fair.
All right.
True.
So you're looking for good sushi.
No, I want a big, fat, juicy steak.
Oh.
You know, And then the after that, the cigar bar, right?
Well, yeah, a little scotch.
Yes. No, Dave knows how to live. Dave knows how to live.
Dave knows how to live. The question is out there, folks. What do you do first? More of Bernie and Sid on a Friday.
The power of information. The freedom to talk about it. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Hoser Pete Morgan just texted. I do want to send a shout out to my friend Robert Heller listening on Staten Island this morning. Robert? Hope you and your family are all safe and well. I know that Staten Island, actually, of all the boroughs, is getting hit the least. They've only got about 3,000 cases, so odds are Robert's okay. But they by far have the least cases. Why is that, Bernie?
Probably because they are a little more affluent. Manhattan is light on the cases as well.
True.
The two lightest boroughs are Manhattan and Staten Island. The hardest hit, of course, Queens, and then Brooklyn, and then the Bronx. And a lot of it, they say, is because people took the subways too long.
Well, didn't you tell me that this...
And, of course, there are no subways on Staten Island.
Right, but didn't you tell me that... Well, they do have the ferry, which runs only once an hour now, which is heavily populated. But you did tell me that this virus does not discriminate, whether you have money or... Now we're starting to find out it does.
Well, it doesn't discriminate, but if you can isolate yourself, you know, a lot of these rich people, for example... out in Long Island, Huntington and Islip are two hot spots. But in addition to that, there is this town where I think per capita it's the most concentrated amount of cases of coronavirus. It's called Southold, Long Island. It's on the North Fork. And they have 152 cases. It's a small town. So per capita, they have the highest amount. But people, the reason they attribute that to people fleeing from New York City, fleeing
is that right?
To their summer home.
They do that. The Hamptons.
Well, and this is the North Fork. The Hamptons, of course, is the South Fork.
Oh.
But still, it's way out there on Long Island. And I read that this morning. They're attributing it to people, New Yorkers, rich New Yorkers fleeing New York City.
Well, it was funny. Dr. Fauci, when he first said a couple of weeks ago, talking about Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, were not allowing New Yorkers in. Well, Dr. Fauci said, listen, if you're running out of New York City, and he actually said whether you're going to Florida or Long Island. I'm like, wait a second. Long Island is still New York. But they were saying that Long Island has become a destination for folks who, quote unquote, get out of the city.
Oh, it has. The East End, mainly. But still, residential areas like Huntington and Islip, as I mentioned, those two particular hotspots in Suffolk County.
Is that where Jill lives in Huntington?
She lives in the environs of Huntington. Not far. Hey, listen, where I am, you got a bunch of places as well in Nassau County. And here we are in Manhattan. Look, this is we're at the epicenter, New York City.
Yeah, but you go home.
You're on the subway. You walk through Penn Station every morning.
Subway every morning, 6 days a week. I work Sundays too. Penn Station, 6 days a week. And I live in the city.
Yeah.
I don't get out of this place.
So don't.
My wife, my children, all of us.
But you look, when you said, doesn't Jill live by Huntington? Like she's going to get it. I mean, wow. You're not exactly Mr. In a safe spot.
She's also got MS-13 and the virus.
No, she lives in a very nice place.
Okay, I'm kidding. All right, the great Dr. Patrick Morgan when we start hour number four. Bernie and Sid, we'll be right back.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC. You can go.
Little Rob Thomas Sunday, fourth and final hour. You can start. Bernie and Sid in the morning, fourth and final hour of the week. I'll be back Sunday, Sid Sports Sunday, and the crew will be back on Monday morning. We're here for you folks. Anyway, Heshy Orgenbaum has become a dear friend of mine and Bernie, the whole show, and speak to Heshy just about every day. So does my wife and my friends, and everybody talks to Heshy. Anyway, make a long story short, through him, we've made this relationship with Maimonides Medical Center, and we've met this oncologist. I think he's the best oncologist in the country. I really do. He's been on the show many, many, many times. And Maimonides in Brooklyn is getting hit pretty hard with this, the amount of patients.
Front page of the New York Post yesterday.
Yes, front page. He is Dr. Patrick Morgan, chairman of the Department of Surgery at Maimonides Medical Center. He also founded and directs the Brooklyn Breast Cancer Center. Maimonides, here's a borough of 3 to 4 million people. These are the only folks that deal with cancer. Patients, and it's all about Mr. Morgan. So here he is, our good friend, Dr. Patrick Morgan. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Bernie. Good morning, Sid. Thank you for having me on. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
It's an honor.
It's great to have
you
on. So listen, let's get right to it. We just mentioned, Bernie just mentioned the front cover of yesterday's New York Post. You know, we heard about Elmhurst Hospital in Queens a couple of days ago getting hammered. You guys are too. How are you holding up during this busy time?
Well, so you're exactly right. We are at the eye of this hurricane. If you look at COVID by neighborhoods and particularly by zip codes, three of the top seven zip codes for COVID are in Borough Park, well over 2,000 cases. And the incidence is extremely high at 9 per 1,000 citizens. So we are really at the epicenter of the COVID crisis.
And let me ask you this, Dr. Borgen, how are the doctors coping? It's got to be incredibly difficult, the doctors and the medical staff.
Yeah, it's a great question. We've all seen videos of courageous firemen racing into a fire. So imagine a hospital with 6,000 employees racing into a virtual fire, taking care of their neighbors, people from their borough, selflessly putting themselves at risk to save others. Everybody is showing up. Nobody's calling in. A few are getting ill, but they're returning to work. It's nothing short of inspiring. I've never seen anything like it in my career.
Heroes.
Dr.
Heroes.
Patrick Borgen here with us. Hey, Dr. Pat, I want to ask you about hydrochloroquine. It seems to be an ongoing battle. The president likes it. It's worked on a bunch of people. France, great study. Oklahoma, great study. People here, great study, but very small in sample size. I know the FDA commissioner, Stephen Hahn, was very reluctant to approve it, although he has since. And Governor Cuomo now has signed a bill which basically says for 2 weeks you can't use it. It's only 2 weeks, not forever, but for 2 weeks, and people can't figure that out. What are your thoughts on what some people say may be the savior in this battle?
Yeah, I think you described it exactly right. There is very little data, scientific data, on hydroxychloroquine, which is one of the original anti-malarial drugs. We are using it on inpatients with symptomatic COVID in combination with some antibiotics. There are so many studies that are going on. Trials.gov has 385 COVID trials active right now. I think we will learn very quickly about this drug, but as you said, the science is very soft at this point.
Dr. Patrick Borgen, chairman of the Department of Surgery at Maimonides Medical Center in Brooklyn. Doctor, can you share with us some information on how to deal with this virus, this pandemic? A lot of questions out there.
Yeah, I think that the most important thing we learned is that as hard as it is, social distancing makes a difference. When we look at maps of the United States, and there's interesting cell phone data where people traveled more than 2 miles regularly, which is particularly in the southeastern part of the U.S., we're going to see a tremendous, tremendous surge in COVID cases. It saves lives. And guess what? New Yorkers are doing it. New Yorkers realize that we're all in this together, that what affects one affects everyone. I'm blown away every night at 7 o'clock when New Yorkers come out on their balconies and applaud.
Oh, it's amazing.
Healthcare workers.
Yep.
It's amazing.
It's inspiring.
And so we are learning so much about ourselves, who we really are, and I think we should be very proud of ourselves.
Yeah, I was actually doing a show in San Diego, and it was a video show outside my apartment in Manhattan, 7 o'clock last night, Pat. And the host of the show in San Diego said, Sid, shut up. I want to hear the crowd in New York City. They couldn't believe it. it was loud.
That's
I mean,
right.
People were yelling and
really
banging drums, right. And it was amazing. Hey, how about when it comes to health here? You guys are starting to get to that critical mass situation. State De Blasio, Cuomo, city, you guys, at least at this point, getting the help you need from local government?
We're getting a lot of help. The state's moving quickly to put 1,000 beds in Red Hook at the cruise ship terminal. We have been working with the state on getting ventilators. Maimonides is in good shape when it comes to PPEs, masks, gowns, hats, gloves. But that's good shape today. We continue to worry about the surge in this. One of the sobering things, Sid, is that it looks like in the next 3 to 4 months, we could lose more American lives than we lost during the 20 years of the Vietnam War. Imagine that over the course of a summer. So at Maimonides, we're preparing for the surge. We're preparing for tomorrow and next week and the week after.
Dr. Patrick Borgen from Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, Maimonides Medical Center in Brooklyn. To be specific, their dedicated COVID website is this, MMC COVID.com. That's MMC, short for Maimonides Medical Center, COVID.com. And their regular website is top10hospitals.org if you should want to contact them. Doctor, give us some information about, how are the doctor's families coping? Let's ask you that question.
You know, we all go to work every day, both inspired and with a little bit of a sense of dread in the back of our minds about how dangerous this virus is. And so it would be wrong to say that we're working fearlessly. We have a lot of fears, but we are working. We are going in every day. We are supporting each other. Sometimes that fear makes you more careful. It makes you put on two gloves or two masks. And so we are being as careful as we can, but we are there for the people of Brooklyn, 100%.
You always are, Dr. Patrick Borgen. I mean, cancer patients, and I've been in studio with Bernie and I, and you're the best at it. You're the best in your field, so you're a true hero. But do you consider me and Bernie heroes, honestly?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. one of you more than the other, but I'll tell you off air.
Oh, thank you very much, Doctor.
Hey, we love you. Thank you. Keep up the thank great work. You. Brooklyn loves
thank
you, and Bernie
guys.
And Sid love you. Thank you.
We do.
All right. This is a changing story. I hope to talk to you again.
Absolutely. We will talk soon. Take care. See, there it is.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you. We're heroes. You're so, like, reluctant to accept that moniker. You're a hero.
I just compared to the medical professionals, the EMTs, and
but you understand that you keep people sane. That is actually mental health, Bernie. That's mental health. When you go sit down and pay some psychiatrist or therapist, you know, $500 for 30 minutes, okay? They're not paying us anything, and we're here for 4 hours. That's mental health. You're a doctor, in essence.
I guess you could characterize it that way, but I would say people who put themselves at risk by dealing with infected people, that those people to me are the big heroes.
Are you at Penn Station every day?
Yeah.
Okay. Are those homeless people, not every single one of them infected?
Listen,
every single one.
I give it to the truckers, the grocers, the doctors, the nurses, people like that, the firemen, the EMTs, the NYPD, those people are heroes.
Okay. So what
I
are
mean,
we
listen,
then?
We're
so
doing
what are
our,
we?
We're doing our jobs.
That's it?
Look, we'll save the analysis for a later date.
Well,
but in the meantime, the people on the front lines.
No, I understand.
To me, are the heroes.
I'm not minimizing what they do.
No, I know you're not.
But I'm maximizing what you and I do.
But you put me on the spot. I mean, I don't want to diminish what you're doing.
Why don't you ask me the question?
I don't want to diminish what you're doing,
ask
but you're
me
asking
question.
Me.
I ask you.
You're not diminishing.
You're reluctant to say yes.
No, listen. I know people have told us.
Uh-huh.
People have said, you're my lifeline. Doc, listening to you has improved my mental health. It's helping me get through this stressful time.
With doctors.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm still not to the point where I'm going to call myself a hero.
Ask me.
And by the way, heroes don't call themselves heroes.
Ask me.
Are you a hero?
Yes.
Checkmate.
New York proud. New York loud. Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
He died this year.
He died, I know.
Any money?
Why do you got to bring that up?
He doesn't even know what's going on right
you
now.
You know, I thought of that, too. These people are spared. You know, people who passed away this past year. I mean, who knew this year would be such hell?
Right.
You know?
I thought about that. Like, people who died right before. I know a couple of people who died right before 9/11. Like, they didn't experience that.
Right.
Life. You and I have been alive for all these horrible things.
I still would rather be alive. It's going to pass. Yeah. You're stronger for it. It builds character, Sidney.
I agree with you.
So it's all good.
But
so,
you have to survive.
You don't want to be dead.
Well, no, of course not. But they do say what doesn't kill you is something you...
Makes you stronger.
Right, but...
But adversity builds character. It always does.
But this is going to kill some people.
Unless you curl up in a fetal position and suck your thumb and say, when is it going to be over? Terry is in Queens. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Bernie and Sid. Thank you so much. I just have two comments. One is, you know, they want to protect us. They want us all to protect ourselves, I should say. And yet we still have this great big shortage of, like, trying to get Lysol wipes, trying to get paper towels, trying to get alcohol.
No, paper towels is easy, but the Clorox wipes and the Lysol, Terry, you're exactly right. I've gone to 20 stores. I can't find any.
Any.
It's been out for weeks and weeks and weeks. I work for a media company. I placed an order about a month ago. We have not received anything. But my
you know why? I think, Terry, and we talked about this last night at my house, because we've also gone everywhere, made orders. I guess right now it's going straight to the hospitals. I guess, Terry. That's my guess.
That's one reason. Yeah, yeah. There's a coronavirus out there, and people are the demand is over the top, over the top.
But the demand was over the top a month ago. I was able to walk into a store in Manhattan and get it. I can't get it, so I got to think maybe the hospitals are taking all the orders first.
Sure, and then there's the hoarding and all these things that are going on. Gary is in Brooklyn. Good morning to you, Gary.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Could be a lot worse, Gary. Always good on a Friday, even in the middle of a terrible health crisis. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, my question is about the virus, but Sid, can I ask you a question first? I don't want to know if you remember me. So my name's Gary Goldstein. I wrote a book called Jew in Jail about my time in prison and recovery from addiction.
I do remember. You got nasty with me, and I got upset, but you're a nice guy, and I wish you the best. And how'd the book do?
Well, the book's doing okay. I'm more interested in speaking. I go to speak at NA meetings, AA meetings.
Yes, that's true. You, and I know that about you, which is very, very nice work. And believe me, as a recovering addict myself, we all appreciate that, Gary. Thank you.
Good for you, Gary. So what's
your question
what
for me, buddy?
Mind, bro?
Can't do that. So my question is, like the other day, was it yesterday, Robert Kraft donated 300,000 masks to New York City. So my question is, don't you think the athletes who are millionaires, all of them, and out of work right now, they're not playing any ball, aren't they not doing enough themselves? What do you think about that?
Well, they're doing something.
Listen, let me just say that about Robert Kraft. It was more than that. He sent the team plane to China on his own dime to pick up 1.7 million N95 respirator masks. He paid for them.
Right.
He donated 1.3, I believe, to the state of Massachusetts, 1.4 to the state of Massachusetts, and 300,000 to the state of New York. That's Robert Kraft.
Which is great, but he's not the only one.
But let me just say this. Drew Brees.
He's a Columbia graduate. So
right.
So
he did that. Yeah, Drew Brees donated $5 million to the state of Louisiana.
You got Stephon Marbury, who's trying to get 10 million masks from China. You've got Kevin Durant and a bunch of NBA players right now that are putting together a video game basketball tournament with all the money going back to COVID-19. You've got Michael Vick and a bunch of former NFL players right now that are putting together a John Madden tournament. All that money is going back to COVID-19. Brees gave the most money at $5 million, but there's a ton of NFL guys who have given money. No, they could do more, but they are doing a lot. You don't hear, Gary, about every single guy. I know Dan Marino gave money in Miami. So there are guys across the country that are doing it.
Let me just say this. LeBron James, where you at? Tom Brady, where you at?
No, he just got his $50 million. You're right. He could help more.
Let's step up here, guys.
That's
Come on. Arnold Schwarzenegger donated $1 million.
Yes.
Dolly Parton, $1 million. So there are some people.
Dolly Parton's great. You remember, thank you for the phone call, Gary, and keep up the good work. Good luck with your book, honestly. Dolly Parton donated a ton of money after Hurricane, was it Sandy or Katrina? Maria. It was the one that pounded Puerto Rico.
I really don't remember.
She's very
Maria,
philanthropic.
It was Puerto Rico, it was Maria.
I think so, yeah. She's very good with that.
No,
Dolly
she's
Parton.
A good lady, nice lady. No, there a lot of people could step up instead of, sneaking into gyms like J-Lo and A-Rod. And, we talked about A-Rod and J-Lo, having their servants wipe down the handles on the limos and everything and sneaking them into gyms that are otherwise closed. You have Phil Mushnick in the New York Post picking up on that this morning. You have that end of the spectrum. And the other end is guys like Drew Brees and Robert Kraft. So, and there's everybody else in between. And maybe LeBron has done something. Maybe Tom Brady has done something. I just haven't heard about it.
I haven't either.
So, guys, let's get ready. Carmine is in New Jersey. Good morning to you, Carmine.
Yes. Bernie and Sid, the best on the radio.
Thank you, Carmine. My man, thank you.
A question, Bernie and Sid. First of all, the president keeps taking Jim Acosta's questions, and then he gets on CNN in the night and badmouths the president constantly.
Yeah.
Why does the president keep taking his...
Because he's the bigger guy. President Trump, and he did ban him for a little while from the White House.
Well, that was a short time,
but he's the bigger guy. He's going to take the questions, and if Acosta wants to make an ass out of himself, God bless him.
That's how transparent the president is. But I did say to my wife, Carmine, we watched that exchange that I believe you're referring to with Jim Acosta just the other day. I said, why is he even taking this guy's question?
He's a bigger guy.
Just ignore the CNN people, because it's going to be that you're going to end up bickering with the loser because it's going to be a gotcha question. It's not designed to help.
No.
It's designed to embarrass the president in any way, shape, or form. It's a false premise usually. And the president has to respond and say, like he did with Peter Alexander, it was a negative style question. There's no way you could answer it in a positive manner without saying, well, what kind of question is that, stupid?
No,
and then they play that answer,
yeah.
And out of a 90-minute press conference, that's what makes the news.
Yeah.
So, some of these people, I would say he should be more selective.
Okay.
But you're right. He is a bigger guy. He's transparent. And he's not afraid of these people.
No.
But I sat there with my wife and I said, why is he even talking to Jim Acosta?
Well, Donald Trump Jr., who was terrific with Kimberly Guilfoyle on this station yesterday from 3 to 5, his meme, which I mentioned to you yesterday, was really funny on Instagram yesterday, which said, I thought only essential workers were allowed to be working today. How do you explain CNN? 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. We'll come back on the phones with you guys. Coming back with you.
Born and bred New York.
If I can.
Bernie and Sid in the morning, 77 WABC.
Foolish heart, hear me calling. Stop before.
Remember Steve Perry was in the studio with us?
Foolish heart,
he wrote that album. I'm not sure anybody bought it, but he's a tremendous singer. Of course, many years the lead singer of Journey, and then he did stuff like this. Solo work, Foolish Hearts, Steve Perry. By the way, if you're with a girl and Steve Perry comes on, and you can't finish, you can't close the deal, you're either gay or lost.
Well, it depends.
Well, that's the Naked Cowboy. Yes, he's still showing up every single day in Times Square, mostly naked. By the way, forget about the virus. It's still cold outside. So between
is nothing compared. This guy's out there in 15-degree weather.
That's true. It's not that cold. But, of course, the virus is out there, and we see the likes that are walking around Times Square, although I've been there the last couple of weeks, and it's deadly quiet. But maybe it's not. We'll find out for sure. Here he is. He's a dear friend of ours, a great friend of the show, and a New York icon, a legend, if you will, and very funny and a great singer. He's at our comedy show every year.
Yes, he is.
He is the great Naked Cowboy. Good morning, Naked. How are you?
Hey, I keep my cell phone in my undies case I get a booty call. When that thing's on vibrate, it sure tickles my balls. I wrote that.
I know.
You wrote that.
That's one of the, it's right there with Born to Run, maybe the second greatest rock and roll song ever. Hey, Naked, are you finding that with the virus and everything being shut down, of course, they're even shutting down streets in New York City, and all those ridiculous characters are gone from Times Square, thank God. But are there any people out there? Are you standing out there every single day? Anybody come see you? Anybody?
Making any money.
Yeah.
Two things. One, around January, I drove all the way down to, I did New Orleans, Mardi Gras. I went to Siesta Key, did spring break, went through Bike Week, was there, going to be there another week, and I heard there was a national emergency. So we cut our plans, came straight back because I wanted to be here for every day of it. I haven't missed one. I've watched it dwindle from, some people to traffic, but still every single day, I'm taking all pictures from a distance. Nobody's giving me money. I'm not taking money. Even they're even just trying to hand it to me. I make all my money on Naked Cowboy oysters, wines, and everything at over 800 restaurants throughout the United States. So my entire income stopped, and that's why I am working harder. That's why I'm using – I said it from the moment it started. So I'm going to make coronavirus my bitch. I'm going to make every aspect of my life better as a result of it and try to encourage other people to do the same thing. I think it's awesome. It's the greatest thing that ever happened.
Man, I love the attitude. You're going to make it you're going to make it work for you. And, the fact that you go out there Naked Cowboy every day, that's a semblance of normalcy. That actually gives people hope. I mean, that you go out every single day. That's you're to be applauded for that.
I'm telling you, when I go out there, it's like I drive around the block 10 times, and I'm like, well, yeah, maybe today's the day I'm not going to come in. I fight with it every day, and then as soon as I get out there, the very first person I see, it could be anybody. Hey, the same thing, normalcy, familiarity. Oh, man, this is really nice. I can't believe I saw you. And all the people who are there, too, every 5 minutes somebody's walking through, whatever. They're people who work here. They missed the place. They're coming back to get a sense of, just to be where they usually are. I'm just saying, it's like when there's a blizzard And you can just feel the intensity of people looking at you like, what is this? You know, really amps up the interaction. It makes you both 100% more whole, 100% more, you know, humble, I guess. You know, I mean, everybody, I'm just telling you, the interactions are priceless.
Yeah.
It's one day I had, just the other day, Reddit did a, you had a sky view, you know, from the webcam. I was the only person in Times Square. They ran a story, Naked Cowboy Alone in Times Square. It had over a million views.
Wow.
I was seen by more people on a day when no one, again, that's the impact of just having the balls to go out. If you really want to live and feel the way I feel, you got to whip out your balls of steel.
So how long were you out there by yourself during this special they ran? This is a Naked Cowboy, by the way. How long were you out there by yourself?
Well, I've been out there every single, like I said, since I think we're on day like 22, but I start at 11 every day. And I've been leaving around 3 o'clock.
And how many people would you say during those 4 hours you see during an average day?
1,000, easy.
Oh, you do see?
Every car that drives by. I mean, it's nonstop, even though it's, you know.
But I guess, funny, 1,000 people over 4 hours is nothing, because on an average day you'd see how many?
100,000.
Yeah. Right.
Well, in my apartment, I'd see my wife and my sister-in-law. So... I want to be an entertainer. I want to be somebody who represents New York City resilience. I want to be someone who people always look to as someone who always stood the post, like the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier or something, just out of respect. I don't need anything for it. I'm losing my tail just like everybody else. I could care less. That's just driving me more. And it's like Tony Robbins says, anybody can be in a good mood and friendly and do all the right things when everything's going for them. But you're tested your character and your resolve and the things that make you who you want to be, which is more important than anything else. That's when you're tested. So, again, I've always been type. Emerson says, there are men who wake up refreshed at a challenge or a threat. I don't know. That's just my nature. When things get bad, I'm the only guy in this garage every day. I'm the only guy walking out there every day. And the less people there are, the better I feel about myself.
You are Tony Robbins in tighty whities and a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
You're incredible. That I love the attitude. That's great. Do you take the subway in every day, Naked Cowboy, or what?
No, my ecosystem is foolproof. I have a SUV from Major World. You know, I did the commercial with Curtis Lee on them a while back.
Yeah, yep.
But I drive my brand new Chevy Tahoe from my garage to this garage. I park my own car as I have for 20 years, 6 months, and 27 days. Today in the exact same spot. I'm not touching anything I don't always touch. I got the rubbing alcohol in my little antibacterial thing, you know what I mean? So I keep my hands pure before I go out. I got my face mask on. Again, everybody's being respectful and staying the distance. I'm letting me take the money, but they want to put it in the guitar just because, you know, it would give an improprietous look that I was even trading anything with random, you know. I don't want to.
Sure.
I'm not worried about me. I don't want to be a danger to them. I also, obviously, have been deemed an essential worker because everyone loves me and doesn't feel that it's non-essential. So I don't want to do anything, obviously, to jeopardize my reputation. Oh, you know, what am I going to get $5 and throw my career down the
ground? Not worth it.
I want to win. I'm going to win. Here's a headline that's going to come up too. Trump beats coronavirus. Boom, just like that.
Yeah.
The whole joke. We watched the whole joke about how he's such a joke, pathetic candidate, never going to happen, done. You talk, go on about Russian collusion, on and on, for years, done. We have the Mueller investigation, all this stuff, and now we got coronavirus, and who could take, I mean, I'm not saying it's not serious, but under the light of where we get our information, I just don't buy it at all.
I love it.
No, we feel the same way. We feel the same way. Believe me, we're confused. We can't figure this thing out, but President Trump is doing a good job. Listen, Naked, we love you. Keep doing your thing out there every single day, and hopefully the country reopens, your restaurants reopen, you get all that money back. But regardless,
either way, you are
a hero and a legend and an icon, so thank you.
And a morale booster.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Naked.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We love you. We love you to death. There he is, the Naked Cowboy, and he's still out there in Times Square. Naked every day.
Not dejected whatsoever.
No.
But he's insane, though. He's not normal, he's crazy
like a fox.
It's not good. There's something wrong with this guy. I love him to death, but he's completely insane.
There's something wrong with you. That guy is great.
Oh, so I need to run outside in my white underwear and hang out in Times Square to be
the
normal
guy just,
to you?
He sent out such a positive message.
No, he does, and he's very bright.
Are you going to call him insane?
Of course he's insane. No, it's normal for a person to stand out there in underwear and a guitar for 40 years in Times Square. That's normal.
Look, he's eccentric, to say the least.
He's out of his effing mind. He's a lovely guy. He's actually brilliant. He's actually much smarter than you would think. And he's talented.
Okay, yeah, but he's crazy, right?
He should be walking the streets. No chance. Here's and we love him. I love him. Howie's in New Jersey on line four. Good morning, Howie. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Long time listener. I love you guys.
We love you.
I'm a retired fire chief. Here's my question. I'm a Prime member of Amazon. I went on their site the other day.
Yeah.
One can of Cento chicken broth, $32.
No, they are jacking everything up, man.
Well, I wonder why nobody's talking about it.
We're talking about it, these son of a bitches.
They are son of a bitches. I hate the curse, but...
Nah, that's okay.
They are.
You enjoyed that, didn't you, Howie? You and I doing that.
I loved it.
Howie.
I go way back when you guys were on the Imus show, and I love you guys.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
But you know, there's another train of thought when it comes to so-called price gouging, which is it's capitalism. It's supply and demand.
No, true. You don't have to go there.
Well, that's just the way it is. I mean, the more the demand... The less of the supply, the higher the price.
Although Amazon is becoming, on a lot of different cases, it's almost like a monopoly. That's what becomes almost illegal.
That is problematic.
Right.
But, and they don't have to necessarily, price gouge. They could, during a public safety crisis, health crisis, not do it. But still, it's fundamentally a capitalistic concept.
I get it. But the guy, Jeff Bezos, just seems like such a... No, I don't. Can I say this, Dick? I guess I can. He really does, right? Come on. You don't like Jeff Bezos, do you?
No.
Right, I mean...
Not in the least. He owns the Washington Post. I can't stand the guy.
That's a good point. You're right. But he just doesn't seem like...
But I love
Amazon. He's not... So do I. But it's great, but he doesn't seem like a good guy. Like...
Nah.
He's not going to throw you a life raft if you're drowning. It's not Jeff Bezos.
He was hosing his friend's wife.
Right. But
are you kidding me?
But there are rich people that own big things that are, like, not good people, right? Like, is that not true? He's
Robert Kraft.
There you go.
All right.
What's the worst thing he's done? Gotten a massage from a Japanese girl in Massachusetts?
That's what I'm saying. He just did a great thing with the N95 respirators.
See what I'm saying?
No.
Me either.
Who's crazy now?
Who's Connie in Westport, Connecticut. That's a lovely place. Line three. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning, fellas. I was curious why the heart attack victims who are, flatlining can't get brought to the comfort.
You know, that's a really
900 beds there.
It's a great point.
The comfort is they only have about 20 patients so far. And the reason for that, Connie, is because of red tape. It's not because they don't want them. They're eventually going to be filled, but they have to figure out the logistics of it. But it still seems like, wow, you got, your dad, he catches a heart attack in the street.
Yeah.
And they have him in the EMS vehicle, and he's flatlining.
They let him
die.
And
they're like, they let him die.
Basically.
And you can't take him to the comfort?
Nope. And you can't resuscitate him either.
That's a good point, Connie.
And, it's funny she says that because my wife's friend, they share the same name. My name is Danielle. She sent her a text yesterday, and she was like, I've been really emotional all day. I've been crying all day. And it's because of all the people that are dying alone. I mean, the one thing about the difference between this and anything else, even 9/11, right, is 9/11, and we've been over this a million times. You went to restaurants together, ball games together. This is the only crisis in our lives where they're telling us to get better together apart. Think about that. Get better together apart. Right?
Well, yeah,
and people are dying alone.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
I mentioned the guy from the guy from Jackson Heights at Elmhurst Hospital, the guy who drove for Uber. He quit driving. So as to avoid the coronavirus, he ended up getting it. 2 weeks later, he's in Elmhurst Hospital. They put him on a ventilator for 2 days, and the guy dies alone. He's got a wife in Jackson Heights. Elmhurst Hospital is like a mile away. His wife and his three kids can't go see him. He dies alone, this poor guy, this immigrant from...
It's terrible. But then there's like my father. I've told you this. He's alone, and I don't think he's upset about it.
Well,
my mom can't go back to the rehab. She's not allowed. She wants to. Maybe she doesn't want to. I don't know. I gotta call my parents today and find out what's going on with those two.
You got issues.
We do. We'll wrap it up on the phones. It's been a great week on Bernie and Sid, and you've been a part of it, you guys out there. So we'll talk to you coming up.
New York opinions. New York attitude. Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC.
Whatever happened to Sade? This is Sade. I used to like her. Never heard she ever like
she's
very
working,
sexy music.
Working in the Amazon warehouse in Staten Island.
Probably is.
Leading walkouts.
Aren't they on strike?
Well, no, they had a walkout, but the person who organized the walkout...
Got fired. Yeah, I know.
And AOC says, that's racist.
Oh, whatever, who cares?
But
God, I can't stand her.
Listen, the big story this morning that we talked about earlier, of course, in San Francisco, and this is going to be the trend, folks. A lot of things changing. No more dependency. By the way, Governor Cuomo, have cut 33. Cut 33. Get cut 33. But
I heard him do this with Rachel Maddow last night. You're talking about the dependency on China?
Well, yeah, but first, in San Francisco, they reversed the ban on plastic bags. They were one of the first in the nation in 2007. We talked about this earlier.
They came around.
No more reusable bags.
Stupid.
It's going to be plastic bags.
Right.
Because, as we said over and over again, the reusable bags, they carry germs.
They give you the choice. Like, in other words, if I go to Gristiti's, which I do every day, to support the cats and Gristiti's, they give you the choice of using a reusable bag, but they give you brand-new plastic bags every single time.
Yeah, but they were going to phase them out. They put a suspension on the ban during the coronavirus. However, they were going to phase them out, and I started getting plastic bags before the virus hit. I mean, paper bags. Yeah, and then stuff was falling out of the damn paper bag.
That's
whatever.
Right.
The plastic bags are going to come back. And San Francisco is, as they led with the reusable bags, they're leading on bringing back the plastic bags.
Right.
So all you idiots out there. Governor Cuomo, he's now a Trumper.
Yeah.
He believes in Trumpism. And that's the other, I guess, silver lining of this crisis. The reliance on China.
No more.
China.
No, enough.
Listen to Governor Cuomo.
Remarkably, in a real cruel twist of fate, China is the main manufacturer for all these things.
Yeah.
It all comes back to China.
Duh.
Where do we get the masks? China. Where do we get the gowns? China. Where do we get the gloves? China. Where do we get the ventilators? China. I mean, it's...
Too much.
I don't know how we got into this position. And then China is selling to the world, literally. So a state, they're trying to buy. I'm trying to buy. I'm calling everyone
that's good.
I know.
You get the point. The point is globalism is the reason why we got there. Globalism, you and your people pushing this globalist agenda got us to buying the stuff from China because it's a little bit cheaper. How much is this economic shutdown costing? You think it's cheaper? How much is this shutdown? It's not cheaper.
No.
We could get screwed.
Absolutely.
And now I'm glad you came around.
Andrew Cuomo's come around quite a bit lately, but that one, that's an old one, and that's an easy one.
And who's been talking about China all these years and up to and leading to his election and post-election and then acting tough with China? President Trump, while Joe Biden and Mike Bloomberg were kissing China's butt.
Not saying that China's not the enemy. Anyway, we're done basically for the week. Excellent job. Izzy Richardson ran the board. Also, Bruce Clayton, Matt Dowell, they all ran the board this week. But Izzy specifically, great job. Thank you, buddy.
Fantastic, guys.
And Christian Arnold, who usually works every day with Curtis and Juliet, spent the last 3 days on the big show. I think he likes it better. And he gets home earlier.
Two pros.
Yeah. So, you were great, man. Thank you. We come in the morning and everything's printed out, ready to go. Thank you, Christian Arnold. Certainly, Jill Vitale, still the great producer back at home, gets up every day, like she's here.
Gets up
early, she's ready for us. And Matt Meaney, too.
The two best.
Yep.
Just love. Miss the hell out of both of them.
I don't think they miss us, I got to be honest.
I know. Well,
they like
the
situation.
I don't think they miss you, to be quite honest with you.
You probably don't. You're right. Anyway, we want to thank all of you out there. Your contribution, your participation has really made this show great. I mean, we always have the nice guests, and Bernie and I have a great back and forth. But you, the listening audience, you have really made this show great.
We're in this together, folks.
That's right, even though we're apart.
Stay strong. Listen, we're going to stay apart, but we're going to get through it. We're going to look back.
And this builds character. Remember that. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you guys, that's right. We'll be back again. I'm back at 9 a.m. Sunday morning with Sit Sports Sunday. Me, Bernie, and the crew back Monday at 6. Until then, peace!